This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth off of 114.
I noticed that Mike kept handing me my gifts. He was like, now open this one. And this one is still unopened. And he's just like, I am so excited for you to open this. And I am afraid.
It's going
to
be a very valuable gift. For a lot of different things.
Okay. All right. So good for
me. Well, really, for one thing.
Okay. But right now, God help us all. Let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
I am here to help you.
So, I mean.
Was he a ghost of Christmas past?
Yeah, that's right.
I like it.
That's right. When we were just talking with Jerry, I understand probably for a variety of reasons it would be problematic if he was like, oh, yeah, DeMarcus Lawrence is not going to come back and play with the Cowboys. I was curious your thoughts about that. I can't remember if we asked you that yesterday or not. If he doesn't play again this season, do you think he's played his last snap with the Cowboys?
Well, you didn't ask me, and I think for the rest of the season it'll be a business decision. Like, is it going to matter? Like, are the games going to matter?
Right.
And then after that, I think he would like to play, but I think it also, I mean, he made a wisecrack a month or so ago about somebody said, well, would this be it? And he goes, well, depends what they want to pay me. Something like that. It was kind of off the cuff. It wasn't like some official, oh, this is what he said, right? I think it, you know, could be up in the air if someone makes it financially worth his while to play what would be a 12th season.
Yeah. I'm curious, do you feel like, or have you ever seen this be the case that, and this might just be a foolish question, that players who get hurt or something along those lines kind of feel like maybe they owe a little bit of a discount because they're like, hey, I didn't really play at all this last season.
No.
Maybe
I'll...
No.
Okay.
We're talking about red-blooded Americans, aren't we?
Okay. I was just curious. Yeah. Just curious.
Yeah.
Mark it down as a foolish question.
If you're going to pay me, I probably would play, but it depends on, you know, is it worth my while? And who knows? You know, that might be, you know, after the injury, what Zach Martin thinks. So I don't want to go out this way, you know. I want to sign for 1 year. But, again, it depends on if you are rewarded financially to help you make that decision.
What do you think at the moment his best asset and value is for the Cowboys this next year, the end of this year here?
He ought to be fresh, right?
yeah,
that's a good point.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, he aged, you know, everything got put on hold. I think that, maybe more of, you know, and depending what else you have, because maybe you're kind of a rotation guy, they're not playing them inside as many times as, you know, maybe they did at some point last year in pass rush situations, or maybe when they move Micah inside, he's outside, and you make it a little, easier. I had someone tell me that Tyron Smith went to the Jets because he felt like with Aaron Rodgers there, they were going to pass the ball more than run the ball. And so I think maybe he was thinking at his age, easier to pass block than to run block.
Yeah, that I guess that whole thing for the Jets hasn't really worked out.
So and then what is he on IR now?
Yeah, exactly. Eric, how are we feeling about Eric Kendricks for Sunday night? I know at this time of the year for a lot of teams, obviously, the injury report every single day can look kind of daunting. And so while Bass, Brooks, Adoga, Lewis, Smith are all limited, how are we feeling about Eric Kendricks, who we haven't seen?
Well, his is listed as personal cat slash calf.
Yeah, which is an interesting combination.
And last week it was personal. So I think there's a good chance that he goes. You know, they weren't really sure about him last week. And then I think he had a good workout. I think it was the Saturday. And then when I saw him before the game, he was doing, you know, when they go out early, he was going through some drills and he looked really good and he was good to go. So, you know, you don't hope anything on anybody personal. Why they're not practicing, but he did it last week, and so I got a feeling that could be the same thing, that he's able to go. That Jordan Lewis has been, you know, moved to limited. That's a good sign. Adoga, even if he's limited, maybe he can be the backup guy, swing tackle. I think Guyton played well enough to start the game, so that's encouraging. And the other guys that did not practice, well, obviously Trayvon wasn't going to play.
Sure.
And then it was Kendricks and, there was one more guy it was Vigil. And he hadn't practiced in a month, and he's played every game. So whatever that foot is, they're kind of holding him out, and then he plays special teams. Yeah, the first block punt of his career, and how'd that turn out?
Yeah, I mean, I still stand by. Good for him for blocking that punt.
Like, yes, absolutely.
Very well done.
Not a lot of people have that on their ledger. Yes.
Well, you know, if you thought about it after the game, or at least on Monday, I heard people going, well, why did they try to go block a punt? And they
didn't. I disagree with that so much,
right?
Too.
And they didn't. There was it was it, the return was on. The guy in front of Vigil he didn't even bother touching him. He just left. And Vigil, being a veteran, said, "Well, I might as well go and rush the punter." And he gets there for his first block of his career.
How are you feeling about this Cowboys defense versus a Tampa offense? Who I know we've talked about. In the four-game win streak, maybe three of the opponents are not particularly impressive, but they beat down the Chargers. And under their offensive coordinator, Liam Cohen, this year, they are top five in points scored, passing touchdowns, total yards. I mean, like, they're up there in a lot of offensive categories. How are you feeling about that specific matchup?
So, you know, the problem the Cowboys had early in the season against good teams, and I guess we can qualify this as a good team, stopping the run. And they do run the ball. And Bucky Irving's averaging 5.5 yards a carry. So they got to take care of that first and then make sure they get pressure on Baker and make sure that he doesn't escape the pocket on him, because that's when he gets dangerous for the opponent and sometimes himself, right? And he gets a little wild and starts throwing the ball around. But he can certainly hurt you, and he's coming off some consecutive very good performances. So to me, I know it's cliche, you got to stop the run, but they better keep him under pressure the way they did this past game. And, you know, somewhat the way they did against Washington with Jaden Daniels. Now, they let him out of the pocket that one time, and he runs for a touchdown, right? Mm-hmm. But for the most part, they kind of surrounded him. And so I think they got to do that with Mayfield, and they've done a pretty good job since Micah has returned putting pressure on opposing quarterbacks. And that's got to happen in this game. Just got to.
What's been your kind of take then on the way that they've gone about stopping the run? And compared to what they obviously were against the Saints and how much better they've gotten there. What's been the difference there?
Well, I think, number one, I think they've gotten used to what Mike Zimmer wants them to do and how he wants them to play it, which was significantly different than last year. And remember, last year they had trouble stopping the run. The games that they lost, everybody ran for at least 110 yards, and I believe two of them for 200, right? I think that having Eric Kendricks on the field has really helped. Obviously, Overshown really, really helped. And they weren't opposed to playing three linebackers when teams went heavy with two tight ends or a tight end and a fullback. And I think that has somewhat made a difference. Now, of late, I think one of the things they've done and one of the reasons why they've done a better job of getting pressure on opposing quarterbacks is they're forcing the front, right? There are times they got six guys on the line of scrimmage, and they're making the offense decide who's coming and who's not. And I think that has created some mismatches, especially when one of them is Micah Parsons. And I think I told you guys this earlier in the week, on one of those with Micah on the line of scrimmage, and they had six guys, and he dropped into coverage. But the first step the center took, not knowing if Micah was rushing or not, assuming he was to wherever Parsons was, and he backed off, and they double-teamed that spot, and Jordan Lewis came through untouched for a sack. So yeah. I think that's one of the things that they've gone to and said, because I was asking the other day, it seemed like the Cowboys are very susceptible to screen passes and little dump-offs,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I saw where some highlights that's what Tampa Bay does a lot, and I was like, well, why are teams doing that? What are they seeing? And it's like, well, when you go to a six-man front, you don't have a lot of support, you know, off to the side, and you better get there in a hurry, or you better choose when you're not dropping guys off. And I think that's one of the reasons why that was happening. And we'll see if they do this, but they like the screen pass.
Now, Mickey, folks will say it's the most wonderful time of the year. And for you, I know it's the most wonderful time of the week because you get to give a prediction. How are we feeling about Cowboys-Buccaneers?
Can I tell you, we joked about it on the podcast?
Sure.
Brandon Aubrey, after a free kick, hits a 70-yard field goal for the winner.
I mean, we saw that weirdness last night.
3-0.
A whole bunch of people were like, the hell just happened? And so, hey, if it gets them a win, I would enjoy that. Thank you very much.
And by
sir.
The way, I saw that take place. Tom Landry tried it, and we found out, we Googled it. It was in a preseason game in 1986.
I remember, Mickey, too, that like Bill Parcells discussed some that happening and like what they were hoping at one point.
This was towards the end of the half, first half, and they called a fair catch, and Rafael Septien had to free kick a 53-yard field goal, and he missed.
But
think about it. You get a free run-up, right? So it's basically a kickoff.
Yeah.
All you got to do is kick it straight. Now,
I'm intrigued by that for sure.
Oh, it's great. It's a wonderful rule.
Well, thank you very much, good sir. We'll catch up with you again on Monday.
All right, mark it down. We'll see how it turns out, huh?
Later, Mick.
There you go. Mickey Spagnuolo right here on 105.3 The Fan.